Welcome to today's episode of the PW Podcast, where leaders learn to lead. In every episode, you get front row seating to transparent, practical conversations between host Wallace Phillips and successful leaders from the marketplace to the ministry. The result? Your leadership will gain greater clarity, purpose, and charisma. So get ready. Change starts now.
Well, Joyce, greetings to you, friends. This is PW. Thank you for joining us today on another edition of the PW Podcast. I know your life is busy. I know you are tracking forward, moving forward, anticipating great things ahead in your life as a leader and your life as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you today an excerpt, I guess, from the message that I used during this awesome holiday season we call Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I bought a little bit of a different type of message to our people. Hey, I've been pastoring for 32 years in the same location. So you reach these high holy days, Easter and Christmas and Palm Sunday and all these other days. And as a leader, I bet some of you feel just like I do sometimes. You scratch your head and you think, wow, how many different kind of ways can I do a Palm Sunday message? I've been here 32 years. And the question is, can I do one so that they won't recognize that I did this one last year or the year before? Or what kind of new illumination can I receive from the waving of the palm branches? And I know that's frustrating for a lot of us who are listening today. So I kind of took a different twist on the Easter season, the resurrection season, and did not focus so much on, the event per se, but I focused on how that event really impacts our lives even farther than salvation. You may say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'd simply like to share a challenge with you that I gave to our people, and I simply entitled it Debtors. Debtors, what does it mean when you're a debtor? It means, well, you owe something, right? And I know what some of us are probably thinking, wow, when you talk about all that Christ gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the gift of God, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and rightly so. You say, Pastor, how in the world could we be indebted? Well, I want to share with you a powerful word that comes from one verse of scripture that I just found in my devotional reading that I just want to bring to your attention today. And it's found in the book of Romans, and in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Wow, what a chapter, huh? We've all been there so many, many times. But this is a word that is quite interesting in the original language. And I go back to the King James here because I really like the word that is in the text there in Romans chapter 8, verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In the New International Version, the text reads like this. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And now all of us know what obligations are. It seems like something that, you know, that we are expected on the other end. We're expected to do this. You have an obligation here. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And our obligation is not to the flesh to live according to it. This word debtor is interesting. I do a little bit of a word study here with you. Those of you who are listening today will discover that for me, I enjoy, you know, yes, finding the context of a passage, but deeper beyond the surface of that context are the words that the gospel writer or the words that the epistle writer are using. And for us who study the Bible, we know that if you're in the Old Testament, you're going to be looking up Hebrew words. But if you're in the New Testament, you're going to be looking up Greek words. I'll never forget my experience as a student at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. I'll never forget signing up for that class and getting so excited about learning the Word of God and taking literally the book of Romans here, coincidentally, taking the book of Romans with Dr. Terrace Newman and passing in that paper. I'd worked so hard to get that first paper in on a passage that I had studied. And I remember using my old Smith Corona typewriter. Now I'm dating myself here because it was before even the computer hit the market there on our college campus. Nobody had a computer and we all had typewriters. I had a Smith Corona, $80 from Montgomery Ward's. I remember typing that paper and feeling so good when I reached that last page and the paper was finished and I turned it in the next day to Dr. Terrace Newman. I remember getting it back with, oh, tons of red ink all over it. And a huge D. I made a D on my paper. And he put a big note across there. He said, Wallace, never, ever, ever use a Webster's dictionary to define a biblical word. And wow, what a learning lesson for me as a freshman in Bible college. I learned that you have to use a lexicon, and I learned that you have to use the tools like today. It's so easy. I go to BibleStudyTools.com. Thank you, Chuck Swindoll. I use the BibleStudyTools.com as I have for years, and it takes all of the hard work out of that process. So here we go talking about the word debtors. When Paul said, you are a debtor here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Romans 8:12, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. What is he saying with the word debtors? The word debtors in the Greek language is aphiletes. Aphiletes, it's one who owes another, one who's held by, here we go, an obligation. One who's held by an obligation, one who's bound by a duty. And if you look at the origin of that word, this word comes from a root word meaning the goodwill that is due to someone. In other words, you know, no, you don't owe God anything as far as to make the gift valid, your salvation valid, but there is goodwill that is expected, that God is looking for us to give our lives in service to him. And so this word obligation here is a strong word, but he says, listen, you're not obligated in the flesh. He's not looking for you to take your life of flesh and give it back to him. Rather, God is looking for us to give our lives in the spirit. This debt that you have in your life is not to be one that is experienced or sown back into kingdom work in the flesh, but it's sown back into the work of the kingdom in the spirit. Look at verse 11 of Romans 8. It says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead, listen to what it says here, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Listen, wouldn't it be wonderful if we always lived in the spirit in terms of our spiritual reputation? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to be caught in the flesh, losing our temper, losing our cool, or making a bad choice? But here's the reality. You are human beings. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to struggle with the tension of flesh and spirit all the time. In fact, someone said it this way. They said, you will never have total victory over this until you're in a box in the front of the church and people are walking by you on your funeral day saying, don't it look just like he should just speak to you right now? And so you've won the victory. It's over with. You're in heaven, in heavenly places, and you've won the victory. Until then, friends, you will struggle with the issues of the flesh. And Paul says this, he says, listen, this very same spirit that resurrected the Lord Jesus on that glorious resurrection day is that very same spirit that puts life in you. It's also that very same spirit that releases life through you. So God wants to flow through your life. And Paul is saying, listen, your obligation is not to live out your life in the flesh. God's looking for an obligation from you that now that your life is transformed, you give your life back to him in the power of the Spirit. I love what Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says. Listen to this. For we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And listen to what it says in the end there, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you know, friend, that, listen, God had plans for you before you were even born. He had plans to prosper you, to harm you, as Jeremiah said, but and to give you a hope and a future. But he had plans to use you as a vessel for his kingdom. He had plans to use you in the spiritual realm once your life had been redeemed by that wonderful work on the cross where Christ was resurrected from the grave and now lives inside of you. You are the salt, Jesus says. You are the light of the world. You are the hands. You are the feet of Jesus in the world today. You are the smile. You are the kindness. You are the hope. You are the peace. This is what your debt is to him. This is what your obligation is to him, to be a vessel, living and walking in the Spirit of God, being sensitive to the needs around you, being sensitive to the people that cross your path. Don't you know that every day that you get up and go about your duties, God has a plan to use you as a light of the world. God has a plan to use you as the salt of the earth. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8 again, and I'm going to read verses 14 to 16. Man, this chapter is loaded with tremendous truth concerning this issue of walking in the Spirit. He says in verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, what? They are the children of God. This validates you as a son. This validates you as a daughter. You're led by the Spirit of God. It declares, it proves, it shows the world that you are the children of God. The Spirit that you received does not make you a slave so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. God has adopted us as sons and daughters of the Most High. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We are not all children of God. Everybody in the earth, you say, well, I've heard people say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You're not a child of God until you come in by way of adoption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Adoption is something I never really understood until adoption hit my own family. My elder son, Joshua, and his precious wife, Cassandra, when they were married, they wanted to have children like any couple would, but suddenly discovered that they were not able to have children after going through many difficult circumstances, even going to another state and spending thousands of dollars. A doctor finally looked at Cassandra and said, Cassandra, let me tell you something, young lady, you will never have a child. And so, you know, they asked the Lord's help and guidance, and they felt in their spirit that they were to move into a foster program and make themselves available to a child who had the need of a parent, children who had need of parents. And so they went all the way through, jumped through all the bells and the whistles of the foster program and became eligible. And long story short, they adopted three children. And they have two sons and they have a daughter. Those three are adopted. And then wouldn't you know it, after a couple of years there, guess what, Cassandra, congratulations, you are pregnant. You know, God has a great sense of humor. He has to wait to come back and bless us immeasurably when we don't even expect it. But we learn something so valuable. We know what it's like to have natural born blood relatives as grandchildren. And we also know what it's like to have three adopted grandchildren. And I've had people to say to me, well, I know your love for those who are natural born in the family is so different than those who are adopted. No, 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 no. I can tell you from the depths of my heart, I can tell you a reality that the adopted ones are just as much a child of our family as those who are natural born. We do not think or care for more those who are natural born than those who are adopted. Love them all. Alexi and Caleb and Levi and Quinn and Cleo and Ava and, my goodness, Eli. just a whole troop of precious, precious children. And now my son is getting ready to get married here in the latter part of this year. And coming along with that marriage is a precious, precious little girl, Catalina. You say, well, she's not going to be your natural born. Listen, it doesn't make any difference. They are our children. They are our grandchildren. And so listen, when you come into the family of God, God loves you to the uttermost. You are adopted into his family through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, you don't receive a spirit of fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him, Paul says, we cry, Abba, Father, dear daddy, that's translated. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are indeed what? God's children. And as his child, you know what? You are indebted to him. No, you don't owe him anything. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Paul said it's the gift of God given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord, not of your works that you can boast of, not of your works. It's a precious gift of salvation being born into the kingdom of God. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive, here it is again, adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Wow. You and I have received that spirit of adoption. You and I have received that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And we are saved. We're born again. We are adopted into the family of God. What an incredible truth. What an incredible truth. And because of that, you know what? We are indebted to him, not to live our lives out in the flesh, satisfying our own desires, satisfying our own expectations, but we're called to live our life out for the Lord Jesus Christ in the realm of the Spirit, so we can be a vessel of honor to God, so that we can be used in his kingdom for purposes that he has far, far ordained many, many years ago. So God wants to use you and I, friends, and we have this obligation. We have this debt, okay? You know what it's like to have a debt when you owe someone. You feel so good when, hey, how about when you get your house paid for? How about when you made the last payment on that car? You say, oh, it's paid for. Can I tell you something? Your salvation has already been paid for, but you understand something. God's looking for an obligation here. God's looking for a debt, and the debt is that you give your life freely to him, and that you are allowed, you allow yourself to be used by God for his divine purposes. Listen, he's given you the free gift of salvation, and really you don't owe him anything. But in essence, Paul was saying you owe him your life. Salvation costs you nothing, but you give your life freely. You have received freely. Now he says freely do what? Freely give. Give your life in the Spirit. Give the goodwill that is due the Lord for all the amazing things that he has done in your life. My friend, such a joy to look at this passage today and realize that you and I, yes, are in fact debtors. And we give our lives to the Lord who has adopted us into his family. And we want to serve him all the days of our life. We want to be the leader that God has called us to be. We want to be the Christian influence that God has called us to walk in our lives of service to him. Let's pray today as we come to a close on the PW podcast that you and I will be effective and we will live our lives in such a way, indebted to the Lord for all he's done for us, to his glory and to his praise. Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, we come before you today as this broadcast comes to a close, and we give you thanks and we give you praise for who you are, Lord. You have redeemed us. You have placed your spirit, that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You have placed it in us. And Lord, you are calling us to live our lives indebted to you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we owe you our lives. We give you our lives today, afresh and anew. We give you our leadership today, afresh and anew. God, use us to inspire others. Use us to raise up men and women in the gospel. Use us, God, to nurture and to inspire other leaders. God, this is our prayer. We're indebted to you, Lord, in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Friends, thank you so much for being a part of the PW Podcast. Pastor Wallace saying so long. And hey, would you do me a favor? Hit the share button, hit the like button, share this podcast with some of your friends, would you? We'd greatly appreciate it. Love to hear from you. Have an awesome day.
You've been listening to the PW Podcast, where leaders learn to lead, with host Wallace Phillips. Thank you for lending us your ear today. Whether you're commuting, at the gym, or on a run, thank you for listening. And please subscribe so you never miss an episode. For more information, visit leaderslead.live. Till next time.